Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. The Lord loves His people. Every child of God is very dear to the Lord. And the Lord loves creation. If you ever wonder why God has positioned Himself to destroy evil, it's because evil should not exist in His kingdom. Period. Now, the last few broadcasts I've been doing, I understand that they may not be the most popular among the modern mindset. When you closely examine what Jesus says, everything He said about the end times has a purpose. You know, the way people present things is if, you know, you just believe on Jesus, all your problems are gone. No matter what you do, that's not true at all. And this is why. If your heart is not in it, neither are you in it. If a person gets married and their heart is not in it, they become unfaithful. Not just in an adulterous relationship, but a person, let's say a guy, all his life he wanted to be married. And he imagined it to be good. And then the girl, all her life she wanted to be married because she imagined it to be good. And so they get married. If they don't realize you have to share your life, you have to be all in. Sometimes people get married because they always wanted to get married, but they reserve sharing their life with their spouse. You gotta take time and understand, get an understanding of what your spouse desires, just like you want them to understand what you desire, where you want to live. So marriage won't solve the problem of itself unless your heart is in it. If your heart is in it, being the male, and then her heart is in it, being the woman, then they can come to a point of points of agreement and they can share their lives together. And it'll be a good marriage, like they both, even better than what they imagined. But sometimes people think that I get married and the guy may imagine that the woman, his wife, will just go along with whatever he want to do. Because society says that the woman follows the man wherever he goes. When it comes to the things of God, that's true. You know, when a person has a calling on their life, it's very important to share your life with that person and come in the same form of agreement. But let's say, you know, it's my way or the highway. Now you got a problem because your heart is not all in it. It's, you know, if you think, well, you have to consider where do you want to live? Where does she want to live? What do you like doing for a living? All these things need to be dealt with. But when you put your heart in it, you can make adjustments. And if a man gets married to the woman and his heart is not in it, he has a mindset, well, I'm just going to do my thing and he don't spend time and talk with her, then his heart is not in it, right? You have to take time for your people. And I know there's responsibilities. Responsibilities require a lot of time. So, but you have to, if your heart is in it, you spend time with your wife. If her heart is in it, she spends time with her husband. Let's say she always wanted to get married, and But her heart is not in the marriage like it could be. She, in her free time, she spent time with her friends or family more than her own husband. When he tried to talk to her, she go do something else. Okay, now I said all that to say this. When you believe on Jesus and you value what he did for you, he got you out of sin. Now, some people let Jesus get them out of sin, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. See, Jesus didn't just give you a get out of jail free card or stay out of hell free card. He gave us life and that more abundant. And look at his intentions. The Father also enabled him to be your priest. So when you fail, he can help you. He can plead your case to the Lord and the Lord will work with you. Then the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. At your will, he said, knock, seek, and ask. You can learn anything from the Lord. And I've been going to church all my life. And most Christians never talk about what the Lord taught them. Period. Even their worst problems. It's rare to find people that will tell you what the Lord taught them about getting their problems solved. Their problems. Not to mention their curiosities. And I listen to people. Every now and then, somebody will say the Lord told them this or that. And sometimes, almost half of the time, even when the Lord do tell them something, it's a wrestling match. You hear this a lot. Something told me not to go down there or not to do this or to do that, and I didn't do it. When your heart is all in it, you know, a person who's all in, they're going to act more like David. When things weren't going right, David talked to the Lord and asked questions and got answers. And he sought the Lord. When Pharisee Saul saw the light, he walked in it. Who are you, Lord? When he heard what Stephen said, it pricked his heart. See, if his heart was set in stone, he never would have got saved. He heard the dialogue of Stephen, possibly all of it, because he was there. I know they went out of town. They went to the outskirts of the city to stone him. I don't know whether Saul was there from the beginning or just at the end, but he was there. And he saw that righteous man get stoned. And if he was holding the coats, he had to have heard what he said. He saw Jesus standing next to the Father. Then he prayed for forgiveness. And by that time, Paul must have heard what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If that's true, this would be the second time he heard it. All these things together pricked his heart. I don't know how much he heard, but whatever he heard, something pricked his heart. Because Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. But after he said, who are you, Lord? That's when he was changed. He believed. From that moment on, he was cooperating with the Lord. And he counted all his, he wrote about this. He gave us something. We know how Paul thought because he talked about it. He wrote about it. In Philippians, he counted everything dung. You know, dung is a word people use for swearing now, you know. What comes out of the rear end of a horse or a man or a cow or whatever. All that trifling education he had, he counted it as waste. And he wanted to know Jesus. He obeyed Hosea. He wanted to follow on and know the Lord. Now, he followed on to know the Lord. And if you follow on to know the Lord, you got to be all in to do that. Because people that don't, you know, they just, are they all in? Hosea 6, it said, Come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now watch verse 3. Then shall we know. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, people that don't know him, they do what society does. Society, traditionally, you just get saved and listen to the preacher, and you don't ask God anything for any reason. You just do what's expected. But that's not the way it should be. You know, we need Jesus paid for us to have not only salvation but a relationship. So if you're wholehearted about God, you can do so much better. If you traditionalize your relationship with the Lord, you're going to be like society. And you'll do what society accepts. You got to break. God, Abraham had to break through his kindred, his father's house, and his nation. And then go and follow God. Everybody got to do that. You can't just stick with the status quo, because it's just not good enough. Listen to Hebrews 6. It's saying the same thing that Hosea 6 said. Verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, he said this for a reason. People, when they come together and talk and go to church, all they expected was to talk about the principles of the doctrines of Christ. But he said, let us go on unto perfection, getting to know him as a person. And also in Acts, prayer was very heavy in Acts. That was the highest priority, prayer, spending time with your Father. They had been with Jesus, and the first thing they want to do after receiving the Holy Spirit, beside preaching, they had to preach the first day, but after that it was prayer, relationship. You show me a husband and a wife that are all in about their marriage. They mature, especially when they seek the Lord. If they're all in about their marriage, I mean their heart. Both of their hearts are committed to the marriage, and both of their hearts are committed to the things of God, to the point that they just don't gather together and talk about doctrines. Their focus is on knowing him. The people of that caliber can do something. They can leave a legacy. So in my life, when I had a lot of troubles, I always asked the Lord, and I developed a relationship. I always wanted a relationship ever since I got saved. But I found out I could have one, and a few people inspired me that way. One was Chris Lucas. He got saved. He worked in the produce section when I worked on the floor at the grocery store in Huffman, food giant. And the other one was Mom Powell. And then after that, it was others, Elder Lewis, Terrence Givens, a lot of people, a lot of preachers, even my own age, Greg Hosey. And these men, these people of God really blessed me, my parents. My parents caused me to desire marriage because I saw how they shared their life together and with the Lord. My mother shared my daddy with the Lord. She never complained about what he had to do. And he shared her with the Lord. They never complained about all the responsibilities they had to do. And they preached out of town. Now that's impressive because they did this till they couldn't do it. My daddy went to church till he couldn't go anymore. My mother went to church till she couldn't go anymore. For a while, my sister would take her because she couldn't. She began to have dementia. But she loved God. So what I'm saying is this. When you're all in, you can learn things. But half-hearted people cannot learn as much. When people are half-hearted, they become lukewarm. And now I want to define half-hearted. A half-hearted couple, even they could cheat on each other. But sometimes people are not all in. They won't cheat on each other, but they won't share their lives with the other. They won't share. You know, what I mean by sharing their lives, if they don't give the other person their top attention and seek to know them and seek to be, you know, make sure they're on one accord. Some people try, but the other person won't do it. It takes both to fully do it. But some people are like, it's just like a patriot in a country. Some people are citizens and some people are patriots. That's what I'm talking about. Some people are all in, dedicated. If their spouse gets sick, they're going to pray till something happens. They're going to pray them through. And some people, when their spouse gets sick, they're going to start trying to find the insurance papers. That's like a citizen. I've heard of, you know, as you grow, you hear things that people do. I told a friend of mine, I said, man, you got a good wife. I said, when you were down, she had everybody praying for you. I said, some women would have went home and tried to find the insurance paper. And then he told me about somebody he knew that happened to. His wife and daughter expected him to die, and they went looking for the insurance papers. Then he bounced back and found out about it. See, if you got two people that love each other and their heart is all in, they're gonna pray and see it through and seek the Lord about what to do, because their spouse really matters. They're like patriots. A patriot will contend for their country. And some citizens won't even go and vote when it's time to vote. Some people, when the war break out, they'll leave. They'll go to Canada or wherever they think is safe. They'll flee. Half-hearted. Well, guess what? When you look at the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were patriots and 5 were half-hearted citizens. 5 were wise. They went to the wedding prepared. They took oil in their lamps, while the others were foolish. They took their lamps with what little oil was in it. Why would you go to something important and you don't have everything you need? You have to be half-hearted to do that. You have to be. You know there's a devil out there trying to cripple you and stop you at every turn. You have to make your allegiance to God strong enough to succeed no matter what. No matter what. And the Lord knows the difference. And I don't. I promise you I don't. The Lord has to tell me about people. In 2012, the Lord said, something's happening in the spirit. Pray. And he knew what he was doing, but I didn't. So I began to pray. Now, it was my custom when I prayed. It was my custom, because he taught me the difference, to pray for those that follow him and also those that don't, because I knew that some people didn't follow him. And the Lord put up with those prayers for a very long time, ever since I learned about following God. And I knew that some people didn't and some people did. So that's why it was my custom. That's why I prayed that way. I said, Lord, bless those that follow you. Bless those that don't know to follow you. He stopped me. He said, stop. He said, I only pray for those that follow me. I said, wow. That was like the second time I heard that one. You know, when the Lord stopped me from praying for someone. So I said, Lord, how am I going to pray for this situation? He said, you're not. He told me why. And that was the second that he stopped me, just like he did years ago. He said, before 2012, of course. He said, stop. I said, what's wrong? He said, I only pray for those that follow me. Years went by. 2017, I was listening to Henry Gruber. I started listening to Henry Gruber after, in 2017, I talk about this in many other broadcasts, but in 2017, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, the Lord woke me up. He spoke to me. It was Saturday, just before I woke up, he began to speak. It's like I opened my eyes. He said, tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready that they be not left. And I hadn't heard language like that in years. It's been the 80s since I remember people being so bold that way. And because of modern preaching, they kind of stopped doing that. They include everything. I mean, everything. And some people stayed true to the words, like the sons of Zadok, and some people folded. So after this, I remember that vision God gave me about the rapture. So, and I didn't watch YouTube in those days before this. But I said, I want to see what God has given other people about the rapture. So I saw a few rapture visions. And then by listening to people who talk about it and saw visions like that. And there were people that saw all kinds. One lady saw the tribulation, where they were forcing people to get the mark. And she wouldn't take the mark, but her children did. They went and took the mark. So when they took the mark, she said, we just said our goodbyes. And she went on. And her children went to hell. She knew they were going to hell. But she said, they said their goodbyes and they went that way, and she didn't take the mark. And I guess in the dream, the people got her and probably cut her head off. But she woke up. I think she woke up before she got captured or whatever. But the children, they opted out. They didn't want to get their head cut off. So they tried to save their life. Now, this is the thing that got me about that dream. That's probably going to be what happens more than anything. And this lady was black. Her children were black, of course. And her children, you know, were just like the average people. You know, some people can take Jesus or leave him. They don't even care. They don't care to go to church. When they go, they want to do something else. When they get grown, they never set foot in church. Some people grow up in church and you can't drag them to church. So they opted out. I'll never forget that one. And I really believe God gave her that one. I believe that one was authentic. Some of them are questionable. But eventually, the one about Henry Gruber came up. And it was the one where Steve Quayle interviewed him. And it talked about the Milky Way vision. He died and went through the Milky Way. And he was also on Sid Roth about this, telling that testimony. But he, with the one that Steve Quayle, he gave more insight about it. And I listened to him. And so I started watching all of his videos. They were he was a person, a man that loved God, and he had some tremendous testimonies. But this is what set him apart from all the other ministers I know of: relationship. He had a thriving relationship with the Lord. He would do whatever God gave him. And he was obedient. And that's why he learned things that most people can't learn. Now, Kenneth Hagin was that way, and others are that way. But he learned things that I never heard anybody teach before. And the Lord called him to prayer walk different cities all over the earth. And if you listen to his testimonies on YouTube, it is amazing. Now, he died at the end of 2019. A blessed man of God. I tell you what, it changed my life. But this is the thing. Somebody interviewed him. And it was called The Sheep and Goat Nations. And when the accident happened in 2011, the Fukushima power plant blew up. Henry Gruber he got on the plane leaving Japan an hour, I think, if I got it right, an hour before the tsunami hit. And then after he took off, an hour later, the tsunami hit. And so he went back in 2012 to help clean up. He went back to Japan, and his ministry was heavily in Japan in those days, and a lot of people got saved under his ministry in Japan. But in 2012, and you can listen to it, The Sheep and Goat Nations with Henry Gruber, you need to listen to it, because the men that was interviewing him, I forgot their names, but they were in prayer. And they prayed. They just went before the Lord, and the Lord said, I think it was May to July of that year, or maybe June of that year, the Lord was dividing the sheep from the goats. The churches. See, judgment starts in the house of God. Before he judged the nations, he judged his people. And so in that year, the judgment happened. God began to separate the sheep from the goats. And they were talking about it, and they asked Henry Gruber about it, and the Lord told him the same thing while he was over. Now you can listen to it for yourself. But I remember when the Lord told me something was happening in the spirit to pray. And I began to pray for those that follow me and those that don't. He stopped me and said, no, pray for those that follow me only. So that's what I've been doing ever since. So when people don't follow God, I say, well, I can't pray for them like I pray for those that do follow God. I obey God. I don't go beyond protocol. I'm not going to ask the Lord to bring somebody to heaven against their will. And since then, especially last year, I learned a lot about tares, and I learned a lot about the Laodicean church. And there's more to the foolish virgins than meets the eye. And yet, this week I was doing broadcast about the five wives, but I found out as I was doing that broadcast that the five foolish virgins are not people of God. The Lord said, many people badge my name, sing my songs, assemble themselves, but I know them not. They will strange themselves. I'm like, whoa, this is just, you know, the reason it is so disturbing to me is because of how we saw people. We, you know, some people are foolish. Jeremiah tried to intercede for people that were just foolish or naive. But it's much worse than that. People that are half-hearted. Now, Enoch, you know, that's a viable book because Jude referred to it. And I read the book of Enoch, the first book of Enoch. And I believe that's the authentic one because he pointed to Christ. And I know rogue Jews wouldn't like it. And, you know, they left it out because it was too accurate or whatever reason. A lukewarm person can't, they have an enmity against God. The five foolish virgins had enmity against God, but they thought they were God's people. And they thought God condoned whatever it is they do. And that's what I want to warn people about. If you're not doing what Jesus said and you know it, you need to get saved. You need to repent. But if you're doing, the Lord told me about a person I love, he said he'll do anything. I was shocked. And he said many are scarcely saved. I'm like, whoa, that ain't good. And the Lord's about to return. But Enoch told his children not to be half-hearted, because half-hearted is lukewarm. I want you to consider these things. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And seek him how you can be a blessing to others. I'm out of time, Lord. It's not-